In session 6 of Turning Your Talent into Income, we're going to shift gears and we're going to start learning about how to connect our talent to a particular opportunity. And the way that we're going to do this is we're going to learn about the roles in business that I think are, you know, really the key roles where the value is created and where the growth is created. Okay, so we're going to talk about 7 key roles, which you can think of as roles or skill sets or hats that are worn in business. And these are the ones where the value is created. Now, first, I want to point something out. Most people that work in business, whether they have a job or whether they even own a business, they don't understand where value is created. They think that the value is created by the people that are doing the work, the people that are making the product, okay, the people that are putting in their time. And it turns out the value part is created by the customers buying products and giving the company money. That's how it's created. Now, everyone inside of a business thinks that they're the one that's responsible for the customers buying the product. And they don't realize that there are only a small handful of people that work inside of a business that are really the ones creating the value that lead to sales. And these are typically the people that are involved in the innovation and in the marketing. Peter Drucker, who we've already mentioned a couple of times, he said, business is really about 2 things. It's about marketing and it's about innovation, and everything else is a cost. Everything else is a cost, goes on the expense line items. And if you want to be making money in business, if you want to be earning a high income, focus on marketing and innovation. Marketing being all those things like marketing, advertising, and sales that sell products, and innovation being creating new, better, and products and services that customers prefer over the old ones. Okay, so marketing and innovation. So these are the roles that create the value. These are the ones that I think are the ones to focus on. And I'm going to talk about 7 of them. And these are 7 that I've identified, roles, hats to wear, skill sets that you could go to work developing. And as I talk about them, what I'd like you to do is ask yourself, which of these skill sets or roles sounds like it makes the most sense for my personality type or style and where I want to go in the future? Okay, so which one makes the most sense for my personality type or style and where I want to go in the future? Meaning the opportunity in business that you're going to connect it to and the vision that you're going to create. So these roles would be your connector. They're the bridge that connects your gifts and your talents with the business opportunity that you select for the future. And by acting through these roles, you can actually make that connection and have a much higher probability of creating a lot of value. So the first role is the role of the entrepreneur. Okay, we touched on this a little bit. But the role of the entrepreneur is to take materials, take capital, take people, and move them to a higher level of productivity. Okay, a higher level of productivity. And entrepreneurs are always asking themselves, how could this be done better? How could we throw out the old way that things are being done and just rebuild from scratch and do it much better? Build it from the ground up and make it more efficient. I once worked with a company. They were a partner of ours in business several years ago. And, you know, they had a kind of a legacy system that ran all of their kind of websites and things. And it was built so that, as I recall, in order for a web page to be built, it had to call on 30 different other computers, 30 different computer servers, to get all the different elements that it needed to build that one web page. And if any of those other servers was down or broken, then the web page didn't function correctly. And it was so kludged together and it was so messed up that it just was starting to break down all the time. other words, it wasn't built right from the first place. And I knew someone that worked there who was very entrepreneurial and who was heading up the company. And they said, what we have to do is rebuild this thing from the ground up, rebuild the whole thing so that it's built right. Okay. And that's kind of entrepreneurial thinking. Like, how do we take this thing and start over, right, from the ground up? So entrepreneurs ask questions like, how could the system be re-engineered to do more with less? How could this whole model here of business be re-engineered? And re-engineering is a concept that was made popular with the book Re-Engineering the Corporation, where they talked about how technology is facilitating the complete redesign of most processes and making it so that instead of 10 people taking 10 hours to do something, one person with the right technology can do the same job in 1 hour. And much, much more effective. And entrepreneurs are doing that all the time. Entrepreneurs are also asking, where is there something that's inefficient and I could actually make it more efficient? I could close the gap here. Where's there a gap between what people want and what they're getting? And how can I close that gap? I've had the good fortune to interview Richard Branson a couple of times. Okay, and Sir Richard Branson is self-made multi-billionaire, one of the most successful entrepreneurs who's ever lived. And I was on stage interviewing him at an event, and I asked him about, you know, what it takes to become a successful entrepreneur. And he talked about approaching it like an artist and getting all of the details perfect. And one of the things that Richard Branson is kind of famous for is having, you know, traveled a lot in his day, realized that airlines just sucked. Right? He'd flown on enough of them, and he was just saying, you know, I'm paying all this money to fly. There's got to be an airline that is good. And there wasn't one. And at one point, he was stuck in an airport somewhere. And so he leased a plane, and he sold tickets to all the people around him that were also stuck. And that's how he started his airline. Or so the legend goes. And then he went and he started Virgin Airlines. And if you've ever flown on Virgin, what you've seen is it's not the same. Okay, they just get things on a level that others don't. When you check in, the counters are clean and modern. The people are upbeat and polite. When you get on the plane, everything's clean and new. And, you know, it just works. I remember being on one of the, one of the early flights when Virgin opened here in America. And I was sitting up close to the front of the plane. And as the people were walking onto the plane, all they were saying was, ooh, and ah, and wow, look at this. Okay, that's an entrepreneur who saw something that wasn't working and said, how can we do this better? The next role or area is product design. Okay, product design. So as I mentioned, my definition of innovation is not just something that's new, but something that's new, something that's different from what came before, and that it's better and in demand from customers. In other words, they'd rather pay for this new thing. It's not just something that's new for the sake of new. It's not different because you think it should be different. But it's new and it's different. But most importantly, it's better from the customer's perspective. That is innovation. And when you take that mindset and you start designing new products and new services that don't exist, or reinventing products, redesigning products so that customers like them more, that's when you start taking part in what I think of as real innovation. So a question you might ask is, what is a new thing that would be so convenient, so easy, so fast, so enjoyable, so low hassle, so valuable that people would use it and buy it immediately if it were available? Okay, that's the kind of question that an innovative product designer is always asking. Okay, so we're looking at the human drives and at the things that humans like to pay for: convenience, speed, simplicity, super high value, low hassle, low risk. What could you create for a product or a service? Or how could you reinvent a product or service that's so awesome that people would use it and they'd pay money for it if it were available? And then, how can you test it out? Okay, not just spend a whole bunch of money building it, but how can you test it to see if people will actually pay for it? Unfortunately, what a lot of kind of business owners do when they're new entrepreneurs is they spend a lot of money because they're so sure that their new product will work, not realizing that most new products fail and that no one who launches a new product thinks that it's going to fail. And there's something to this, so you have to test it out. The next role, okay, or skill that can help you connect talent or gift to business opportunity, and that's very, very valuable in the business world, is salesperson. Okay, salesperson, and eventually sales manager. And the definition here of salesperson is someone who talks to individual human beings one-on-one and takes them from being a prospective customer to being a customer. In other words, the salesperson is the person who gets the prospective customer to take out their money and buy the product. Okay, the last mile. And also, salespeople at higher levels will set up partnerships, usually, between businesses. And this can be very well-paid work and be very lucrative for everyone involved. So who would make a good salesperson? Well, probably someone that's social, someone that enjoys talking to people. And I want to point out here that selling, professional selling, is not the kind of thing that we think of as slimy salespeople doing. Professional sales is actually a highly fulfilling, highly important role inside a business because it's about understanding the needs of the customer and matching their needs to the products and services that you offer. Yes, there are some slimy used car salespeople and real estate salespeople and, you know, whatever, that are just trying to talk people into giving away their money, even though what they're selling doesn't work or it's low quality. Sure, okay, again, there's always a few, you know, rotten apples running around. Don't let that spoil the bunch. Don't let that drive you away from sales, because learning professional sales is one of the most important things that you can learn for anything you're going to do to succeed in business. So the question to ask is, who are potential customers and how can I talk to them individually, one-on-one, about their needs and about buying a product or a service? Okay, so who are the potential customers and how can I talk to them? How can I find them and talk to them about buying a potential product or service? I'll tell you right now, taking a role or a job as a professional salesperson will teach you more about the things that you need to know to succeed in business than just about any other role. Okay, just about any other role. The next role or skill is that of marketer, okay, and eventually of marketing manager. Now, the way I think of marketing is that it's like scalable sales. If you're doing sales, you go out in person and you talk to the customer and you answer their questions and you find out what their needs are and you help them make the decision. If you're doing marketing, you send the marketing out to do what the salesperson would do. And it's not surprising that a lot of the most successful marketers in history started out doing face-to-face, one-to-one sales. Because that's how you learn the questions that people ask, and you learn what motivates them, and you learn what you need to say to help them make a buying decision. When you move to the kind of role of marketer, it's about understanding psychology and motivation and behavior. And this often works very well for people that kind of have a psychological interest and love analysis and communication. So a question you might ask yourself are, what are the common psychological triggers that customers are using to decide and to buy the product or service that you're interested in being involved in? And what are the power words or the phrases that they're using that have a lot of emotional value? And how can I help incorporate these power words and phrases and triggers into our marketing and our advertising and all the activities that we're doing to get customers? That'll get you started. Business needs marketers and business needs salespeople. And spending at least a few years doing this in your career will pay off very handsomely whether you decide to do those long term or not. The next role or skill set that you might consider taking on to bridge the gap between your natural talents or gifts and the opportunities in some of the future businesses and industries that we've talked about is that of what we might call technology guru. A technology guru. And this is really the one part of growing business sectors that's relatively new and that's definitely a huge need. Okay, huge need. My friends that run technology companies, what they're all saying is we need more great technologists. There's a huge shortage of really great technologists. Okay, so if you have the kind of mind, the kind of analytical and logical mind that would either predispose you to being a software developer, software designer, an IT manager, someone that's involved with support, managing networks and managing people, technology guru would be an excellent opportunity. Again, if that's what your talent or gift lends itself to, and again, if it's inside of a growing industry and a growing company. So you want to ask yourself, how can I bring this business, whether it's yours or one you're working inside of, into the future and help all of the systems run smoothly and efficiently with technology and technology tools? And when you put that hat on, and you kind of almost do mini entrepreneurship using technology, helping things run better and faster and more efficiently, you become very, very valuable. Another role or skill that's very valuable now and will be very valuable in the future, and something that if your personality lends itself to this, could be very valuable, is that of project manager. Okay, project manager. The reason why project managers are so valuable is that the project manager is the one responsible for delivering results. Now, most people don't want to take responsibility for delivering results. They want to take responsibility for showing up on time and doing their work. They definitely don't want to be responsible for whether something gets done or not. And whenever there's a problem, you usually find most people inside of a company pointing their finger at each other and saying it's their fault. If they would have gotten their thing done on time, then I would have gotten mine done on time. You find few people that show up and say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for delivering results and delivering them on time. And then when things aren't on time, saying, we're going to be late, and that's my responsibility, and keeping the communication up and making sure the group's organized and so forth. So being the owner of the project and the one responsible for the results, this is something that all of us in business are constantly looking for, is those that are willing to take responsibility, that are willing to drive and push the project and take responsibility for delivering the result. Stick their neck out and say, I will deliver the result. So the question to ask yourself inside of your business or inside of the business you work on is, what high value project needs an owner? Okay, what high value project needs an owner? What would make the biggest difference to the growth and the profit of our business? What project would make the biggest difference to the growth and profitability? And can I go and drive it? Now, this, by the way, lends itself, typically project manager, to someone who is a Myers-Briggs sensor and judger. Okay, someone who's a detail-oriented organizer. Those types tend to do very well as project managers because their natural talents and skills lend themselves to it. And also, those that tend to have a physical mind, okay, so be physical geniuses and logical geniuses, those types also, and that combination, tend to be really, really good project managers because they think in terms of getting things done in the real world. And even if they're working on virtual projects and they're managing a project of information or building something online, a physical type that also has a strong logical can be a great project manager because, again, their whole focus is tangible, get things done, make it happen in the real world. And the final, seventh role or skill inside of business that's very, very valuable and that never goes out of style, so to speak, is someone who recruits great people, recruits superstars, a recruiter of talent. And these people, you know, they work inside of businesses. If you have your own business, okay, you need to do this. If you want to start a business that does just this, it can be a great business all by itself. I know folks that have had very profitable businesses doing recruiting. Business always needs talent. It always needs great people. And the industries that we talked about and the particular types of businesses, doing recruiting for those businesses where you're finding talent for them, again, whether you're doing it inside the business or outside or you're doing it for your own business, this could be very, very lucrative in the future. So we always need to attract superstars. There's always a need for the best talent. It's always something that's lacking and we need more of. And the question you can ask yourself is, who are the next superstars that we need to grow? Okay, to grow the business and grow profit, and how can I help attract them? Now, I found that recruiting, okay, the types of folks that I've met that are the best at it, tend to be extroverted. They also tend to be emotional types. Okay, so they're really tuned into other people, building rapport, and so forth. Oftentimes intuitive types, so extroverted intuitive feeling types, extroverted intuitive feeling perceiver, extroverted intuitive feeling judger. But in any event, oftentimes those that are emotional types, so they connect with others and they can build trust quickly. Sales and recruiting have overlap. Okay, they're about connecting with people and building trust. And so the emotional types can do really well there. Now, I'm not saying that if, let's say that you're a logical type and you're not emotional at all, that you can't be good at recruiting. You can. And I'm not saying that if you're, you know, not a logical type, you're an emotional type, that you can't be good at, you know, computer software development. What I'm saying is you need to match your natural gifts and talents with an opportunity that makes sense to you, that's growing, and that's in need. And the kinds of connections that I've made here tend to be true, 60 to 80% of the time. So most of the time, but not all the time. And this can be a shortcut, but you have to make the final decision. So I mentioned seven roles here to you. There's something about all of them, okay, a common denominator, and something that's always in demand that we're always looking for, okay? And this is someone to own something, okay? Someone to own something. Take responsibility. Manage the project. Take responsibility for delivering the results. That's what we're looking for here. And you can see crossovers, okay? I gave a couple little personality type crossovers. You can do the math yourself on your type, okay? But at a high level, if you're a physical type, okay, you'll probably be good at creating physical designs, at holding people accountable and making sure they take action, at managing projects and deadlines and making things get done, at performing and making sure others perform, right? So this is kind of the physical skills. If you're an emotional, you'll probably do better in the realm of building relationships, of persuasion, of coaching, of recruiting other people, possibly teaching, helping people with problems to, you know, become more fulfilled and more satisfied. Sales and marketing, very potentially, because you'll understand better the motivation of people. If you're a logical or an abstract thinker type, some of the areas like software and computers and systems design, information design, sometimes marketing, possibly sales, can also be an area where you could thrive. And you see how these different types kind of play out. So take a look at your type and ask which of these potentially makes the most sense. And remember, we're always looking in business for someone to take responsibility and to take ownership of the project and deliver the result. Okay, so let's do an exercise. So take out a piece of paper. And I'd like you to answer these three questions. First, which of the areas that we've just discussed is the most likely place inside of a business where you would thrive? Okay, just a guess right now. We're just getting an idea. Okay, which of the seven areas, entrepreneur, product design, salesperson, marketer, technology guru, project manager, recruiter, and overall driver or owner of project, which of these seven areas would you likely thrive inside of? Next, what step could you take to learn more about that particular area? And what step could you take right now to get more experience with it? Could you take on a project in your current job or in your current business? Could you go to a seminar? Where could you go get more experience with that particular role or skill? And then finally, who do you know, or through others indirectly, who could you get introduced to, that's a superstar in one of these roles that you could invite to lunch or ask to have a conversation with you? And write down three of them. Okay, three superstars that you either know or you know someone who knows them or would probably know them that you could reach out to and invite them to lunch, cup of coffee, talk to them on the phone, to ask them more questions about what they do and to get their feedback about whether they think you would be good at it and to give you some recommendations. And then, of course, reach out to those three superstars, invite them to coffee, invite them to lunch, and interview them and learn about what they know and have them take a look at what you're up to here, tell them about this program and what you're working on, and get their feedback. Yeah, you'll find some good reference group members in there, potentially a good mastermind member, maybe even a good mentor, but you'll learn more about that particular role. Okay, good. So now we've identified what our potential unique gifts or personality traits or talents might be. We've learned some strategies about how to approach this as well. We've then learned about industries and specific kind of business niches that are growing and likely to grow. We've learned about some of the niches to avoid. We've learned that we need to be around the right people, okay, personally and professionally, our reference group, our mastermind, and our mentors. Now we've started building the bridge or the connection, the roles that will allow us to connect our gifts and our talents to the potential future business opportunities. And next, what we're going to do is learn how to develop our talent into a strength. Take what we're good at and develop it into a strength where we can create value and earn a high income. And that's what we're going to do in the next session. And I'll talk to you there.